coming up on your favorite podcast. It's the PGA Preview Pod, and this time we are talking about our first real big tournament of the season, the Players at Ponte Vedra Beach, TPC Sawgrass, one of our favorite courses. Ty and I are going to talk about Bryson DeChambeau and the Bay Hill Invitational, or the Arnold Palmer Invitational, if you want to call it that. Talk about Bryson's prolific driving performance, and talk about just how unlikable Bryson continues to be. In my eyes, I know Ty loves him. And then we'll get into the Players. We'll try to pick our winners for this week, preview the tournament, and see how it goes. So it's Ty, it's me, it's the PGA Preview Pod, and we're talking the Players next on the pod. Hey! It's the Tim Anderson Podcast Show. I'm Tim. It's the PGA Preview Pod. And this is a big pod because we are in front of golf's fifth major. And if you've seen any of the PGA coverage over the last 6 to 8 months, or maybe even longer than that, you know the PGA loves to talk about this tournament. They have been stuffing it down your throat for the last 12 months. Rory talking about that walk between 16 and 17. It's like it's 80 yards too long, you know. So it's going to be fun. I can't wait to get to this tournament. This is one of my favorite tournaments of the year. Joined almost always on the PGA Preview Pod by our lovely co-host and lovely sponsor of this podcast, Ty Schrupp. Of course, tyschrupp.com. You can always go check out Ty if you're looking for the latest, greatest rates and insurance, everything that you're looking for, especially now that we're coming out of the pandemic. A lot of people are trying to buy new houses. The housing market's crazy. Trying to get a new car. It's nice to maybe change up those rates, too. I was reading something, Ty, that it was not even related to you. I don't know what it was, but there's something about saving money in the state that you should look at rates like twice a year. Do you think that's true? Like, I was going to ask you this.
I mean, that's half the battle, right? Half the battle is having the best price for what you got, and half the battle is having the right coverage with who you trust. So you don't want to spend more money than you have to, but if there's an issue, you want to have someone that you trust to go to, right?
Yeah.
So it's half the battle. I don't know how often you have to look at rates, but you definitely want to know that you're not getting ripped off, and it does happen a lot. I mean, I run rates 100 times a day, and sometimes you look and you hate to say it, but you're like, hey, you've been getting ripped off a long time. So it does happen. But more importantly, find someone you trust. And if you find someone you trust, hopefully they're looking out for that part for you.
Absolutely. And that's what you're going to do, of course, at tyschrupp.com. If that's something you guys want to go check out, please do. And let them know that, like, you heard about Ty on the podcast and that you loved his dulcet tones. And you're like, man, anybody who talks in a pleasing baritone like that, like anybody who can rip a driver 300 yards, that's the guy I want to do business with, man. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, Ty, the weather in Minnesota is so good right now. Oh, baby, is it good. Today, honestly, if you could sell me 58 degrees and no wind in this state every day for 12 months a year, and I would absolutely take it. What a fantastic day. I was out hitting balls for almost 2 hours today. It's just the way I feel right now. Have you been outside to hit balls yet?
I have not been outside yet. I haven't turned over that page, but I do love this weather. I was outside swinging my club in the driveway the other day, and my wife got a nice video of me that she got a good laugh out of. But it is that time of year that I'm thinking about golf, and it could not be better timing than the Players Championship coming up this week. I'm really looking forward to it.
I think I have put in at the local range. I've already got about 800 swings in the range since last Friday after I bought the membership, the range pass. I like to get the range pass close to the house here. And I've already just been lighting up that driving range with golf balls right now.
Yeah, no free ads, but when they're putting together the pricing on the old driving range pass, they have a couple of outliers. They have the guy who buys it as a gift and never shows up, and they have Tim who is there four times a day. And they have to throw those data points out. You're that outlier. You're ripping the place off. They're not getting their money's worth out of you. I promise that.
I am ripping the. I've already bought this month's worth. And we've still got 20 some odd days left to go. Because you figure it's $50 a month for unlimited balls, plus the executive course that they have there that you can go hit. Unlimited balls. So that's 10. That's five large buckets. It pays for it. Five large buckets. You think about it. One bucket's $10 there, and it's like 80, 90 balls. I've already hit like nine large buckets. We're already rolling, baby. Let's go.
Yep. Let's go. The other side of that is the average guy in the third month isn't hitting one bucket, you know, maybe two, but
there's a lot of guys that just roll in there, hit one bucket. I'm one of the diehards. Like, there's only like seven guys that you see there all the time, and I know those seven guys, and I'm up there one of the seven. Yeah. And the rest of those guys, they hit their one small bucket or their one large bucket, and they go home. And I ask myself, what are you getting accomplished out there? Like, what are you doing in that 80 balls that's making you a better golfer? Are you work? You can't be working on anything. What do you work on in 80 swings? Nothing. Come on, guys. It takes me a bucket just to get it rolling.
They're just getting away from their wife and kids. Let's be real.
When are you going to get this pass so that you can come up there and join me, Tyus, and put on a range show, a clinic? You could be up there putting on a clinic.
I'm in. I'm just worried about that. It's going to be $60 next year, and then that's just going to be too steep for me. And I'll know who to blame for that.
It's me that's bringing. See, but that's just it. That there's plenty. I'll tell some of my other friends to not go up there as much, and they'll bring the cost down. Okay. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. All right, Ty. One of your favorite guys, your guy, Bryson DeChambeau, wins at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. He's petulant as always. He's about as awkward as like a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest when it comes to his like media stuff and his comments. And he's just like, he's the easiest guy to root against in the tour, but yet he's your guy. What did you make of this weekend's golf? What did you think?
He is, and anytime I see that name at the top of the leaderboard, I cannot turn off the TV. I love to hate him, but like I said to you through text, I don't think he realizes it. We won't dwell on this, but I wish we were podcasting back when he won the U.S. Open. Do you remember that interview he had where he was talking to his parents? Just the guy doesn't. Yeah,
he needs
a little bit of media training. It's bad.
My favorite thing is they play this 10-minute canned video about how, oh, Mr. Palmer wrote me a letter and I met him before he died, and I get emotional. I get so emotional talking about Mr. Palmer. And yet, like, an hour earlier, he's like, this is the worst bunker on the PGA Tour. And I'm like, that's Mr. Palmer's golf course that you're just tearing apart saying it's the worst golf course ever. And it's like, then on top of that, it's like, he wins the golf tournament. And if it's Mr. Palmer's golf tournament, this might be a good time to just say, you know what, I'm so grateful to the Palmer family for having me here and blah, blah, blah. No, but hang on, guys. Before we go anywhere, I got to thank Rolex, Cobra, Puma, all my sponsors, like he names off 90 sponsors, everything but like Tide. He reminded me of a NASCAR driver getting out of the car. You know, it's like, I got to thank the Tide Chevrolet, and all the guys over at Hendrick Motorsports for getting it running today for me. It's like, it was unbelievable. It's like, okay. It's just like, the guy just doesn't get it. I don't know what it is about him. He just doesn't. He's oblivious.
He
knows. Right.
And if you told him, hey, Bryson, you are just terrible, I don't think he wouldn't believe you. I don't think he knows how bad he is. But you know who he's really great for? Is the PGA Tour, because guys like me, I don't think I'm the only one. Again, when he's at the top of leaderboard, it's must-watch stuff. I loved watching him. I didn't want him to win because I don't particularly like him, but I love to watch him. You know who he's not good for? Cobra. Selling the single length irons. You couldn't get someone to buy those for $10. Come on. Nobody bought those.
They're like on year three of selling these one length irons, and I'm just sitting there going, are you moving them? Have you met anybody who's playing the one length iron? I have yet to meet anybody.
Not even close.
And you always see somebody playing with a new gadget somewhere. I'm one of those guys. I love the new stuff that comes out, right? And every time you go to the golf course, you see a sim driver, the brand new Epic Speed. You see the new irons. Somebody's playing something. Like, I see the TaylorMade irons getting played left and right. I've not seen the Cobra one length irons anywhere, anybody, by anyone in 3+ years.
Well, just imagine marketing a driver where you had to completely change your golf game to use. I mean, it's for the average everyday novice golfer, nobody's going to change their game and spend years training to try to use your product. It was a silly idea, and yeah, like I said, I've never met anyone who has them, and I don't think anyone owns them. I think Bryson owns the only set that's ever been sold, so I don't, yeah. I'm out.
I'm
out on single length irons.
You know,
and I'm out on Bryson DeChambeau, but...
No, you're not out, because you're in every time he's in contention. If he's in contention this Sunday, you're in.
I'm out on buying his products, but yes, I am in on watching Bryson DeChambeau. There's no young guy who's a villain right now. That PGA Tour needs Bryson DeChambeau. Maybe he's smarter than we're giving him credit for. Maybe he knows he's the villain and he knows his spot. So
maybe you're right.
I'll give him credit. Maybe. Hey,
I will say this. Cobra has got some red hot stuff right now with Bryson. Here's the thing. They hitched their wagon, Cobra did, to the Ricky Fowler train, and that's a disaster right now. That is derailed. Yeah. So Bryson's the guy that's moving product. That rad speed driver, Bryson's going to move that driver. I love the speed zone. I have the Cobra speed zone. You play Cobra irons. They make good stuff. Bryson's going to move some product. That rad speed, I would not be shocked if that's up there as one of the top selling drivers at the end of the year. And partly because of him. I mean, he did drive that. That sixth hole is bananas. And everybody says, you see, people want to watch that. So why do we roll the ball back? Why would we change all that? And it's like, that's not the point. First of all, the golf course and the hole was not meant to be played that way. And the only reason he's doing that is because the driver is so forgiving and it is so kind to him. And the ball is so forgiving that you can't hit it offline. He'd never attempt that if the ball had just an ounce of spin on it and the driver was slightly less forgiving. No chance.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty impressive, though, looking at that line and watching everyone else play that hole.
Of course it's impressive. He's the only guy on tour who can do it. It's incredibly impressive. But do I want to watch bomb and gouge golf all the time? No. The guy who I loved watching, who was once again in contention, Ty, who we got to feel good about, is Spieth. Spieth, again, and this was a big test for me because he had never played here before. It's a lot of water. It's a place where if you're not driving it well, you're going to be wet a lot. Copyright Rory McIlroy. He found a way to keep... He didn't drive it great, but he didn't drive it poorly. And his iron game looks to be pretty close to back. Like, if it's not all the way there yet, it's pretty damn close. Top five finish again. Faded a little on Sunday, but again, everybody's like, well, he shot 75 on Sunday, whatever. I'm like, yeah. Only one guy, like three guys broke par and they shot 71. So it wasn't exactly easy scoring out there, but he's hanging in there. He's battling. And I think your prediction of him at the Masters looks like it's not bad right now. He's playing well.
Yeah. Yeah. I said him or DJ, and DJ's trending in the other direction. So give me Spieth. I'm not backing off on that take.
Now, Spieth hasn't made the cut here at the Players much. He was a top four finisher his first time out, but he's missed the cut four of the last five times he's played here. So I'm not exactly sure what Jordan Spieth we're going to get here this week, but I'll say this. If he contends this week and he hangs around, might be cause to celebrate in Spieth land. That's for sure. Yeah. So very encouraged if you're a Spieth fan like I am.
Yep. I'm all in.
What were you most, besides Bryson and maybe Spieth, what were you most entertained, encouraged, happy about when you saw this weekend's play?
I don't know. What about you?
Well, one, I think Lee Westwood's fiance continuing to carry the bag for him in this career renaissance that Westwood's having. It tells me that everybody talks about the caddies as, well, what a job these guys got. Oh, man, they got to do so much work. I'm like, it can't be that hard. Westwood's fiance, who doesn't know, who's openly not like a, she's not a pro golfer. She's, you know, she probably doesn't, I don't know how much golf she even plays. She's lugging the bag and carrying him around, and Westwood's never played better. Like, so I don't know about all that. Just gives me hope that you and I could go caddy right now on tour. I mean, we could go make that happen. I was encouraged by guys like Westwood.
Sure.
It was fun to see. I was encouraged by him, encouraged by Spieth. I was discouraged by Rory's weekend play and discouraged by just, again, just guys like Tommy Fleetwood, guys who you just are waiting to break through, who just aren't doing that. Like, they're not moving forward and contending in these events. So I'm a little bit, I was encouraged by some of the stuff I saw from guys like Spieth, discouraged by Rory, obviously Justin Rose withdrawing, Ricky Fowler. I mean, just really discouraged by a lot of big name guys starting to trend the other way in tournaments that they shouldn't be doing that in.
And I think a lot of, it's a little becoming a little bit of an epidemic that these young guys that are really good players, they have all the shots in their bag. They're just not the Sunday gamers like, you know, nobody. I mean, I'm not looking for Tiger Woods, but maybe Rory McIlroy, you know, a few years ago, or Jordan in his heyday, you know, Justin Rose, Adam Scott. I mean, those guys when they were at their best, they were their best in the final round, right? They went out and won tournaments. We're just seeing a lot of these guys that we're encouraged by. We're watching, you know, guys that were, you know, you're thinking, I'm going to watch this guy on Sunday, and then all of a sudden they're three over after four holes and they're totally out of the mix. I'm a little bit concerned about that. Morikawa is a little bit of the anomaly there, but I want to see these young guys play a little better when the money's on the line, and I haven't quite seen that yet, and saw a lot of that today. I plan on watching Rory intently on Sunday, and then all of a sudden, you know, he played so poorly at the beginning, you didn't even hardly see any of his shots on the broadcast.
Yeah, he was dropped from
coverage
pretty
quickly. So that was a little bit disappointing. He's got to put together four rounds at some point.
Yeah.
Too good of a golfer. He's one of the best golfers in the world.
I thought I was feeling really good about him after, you know, on my FanDuel, I picked him with my first pick last week. I really liked the possibilities there. By the way, thanks to Siwoo Kim for giving me the nice 80 and then withdrawing. That was sweet. Thanks for that, Siwoo. I appreciate you on that one, pal. Yep. That was awesome.
Thanks, bud.
Yeah, that was great. Thanks for playing. Rory is continuing to perplex me because it looks like he's swinging well. Like, I don't see anything in his swing that makes me think he's scuffling. But, man, like, inside 100 yards with a wedge, he is so average. It is just, it's crazy to see how mediocre at best he is from 100 yards. A guy with his skill set, I just think, like, and he's probably doing this. I'm not saying he's not. But, like, I hope he's seriously out pounding, you know, three buckets from 100 yards a day. Like, he needs to just, he's got to find a way to dial that in competition. He needs that shot. And he'll stay in this, like, holding pattern until he does.
Mm-hmm. And I think he's been putting better. I think that's really what's come back a little bit. I mean, he's always been a pretty good driver of the golf ball. But, yeah, the wedge game's not great. Even the short iron game's not that great. And, you know, now that the putting's back, he's at least in contention and we're noticing him a little more. And I think it's just kind of bringing to the forefront those other parts of his game aren't back. And, I mean, you saw it. He's not the only one. I know they love to do this on the broadcast, as they love to show guys out on the putting green or out on the range as the sun's going down. But you saw Bryson out there on Saturday. He shows up on Sunday and wins. I don't know. Is Rory doing that? I don't. You don't see it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not sure.
Great question. I'm definitely not picking him this week. Would I be surprised if he turned around and won this week? No, because that's the kind of talent Rory has. But certainly not picking him this week. All right. Guess who else we're not picking this week? Brooks Koepka. He is WD'd from the Players. He's calling it a strain of his knee, his right knee. I'm starting to get a little concerned here. Are we worried that we've seen? Like, it's kind of like Jason Day, right? You know, Jason Day was playing really great. The back injuries crept up. And even though he'd sneak a win here, sneak a win there, a lot of WDs, a lot of tournaments where his back was bugging him. And then you sort of just kind of lost faith that, like, what you saw was Jason Day's best. And I still think we haven't seen, like, Jason Day, I don't think will ever be the player we thought he was going to be. Are we starting to get there? Like, we've seen Brooks Koepka's best?
Yeah, the thing that bothers me about Brooks, well, there's a lot of things that bother me about Brooks Koepka, but I think he's the guy that if you take out maybe two appearances, take out two of his two U.S. Open wins, is he a guy we're even talking much about right now? I mean, do we really care that much? Is he even really that much in the conversation? I think maybe not. I mean, he might be the greatest. If he doesn't come back to his major winning ways, he might be the greatest flash in the pan in the history of golf. And I might be a little bit biased because I don't like him.
Yeah.
At least Bryson DeChambeau, I think he doesn't know that he's being unlikable. Brooks knows, and he wants you to not like him. I don't get it. I don't like him. I don't like that he doesn't take other tournaments seriously, and he doesn't hide that. I don't like that he doesn't care to be friends with other people. Again, take that for what it's worth. Who really cares? It's not our life. They're out there to entertain. But I don't like that he doesn't get along with the other guys on tour. It just rubs me the wrong way. And I just don't like Brooks Koepka, and goodbye, good rinse. I mean,
I'm okay.
If he never tees it up again, I'm fat and happy.
I'll push back. I like Brooks Koepka. I like the fact he doesn't like Bryson DeChambeau. I sort of like, it's kind of like the, you know, when I was, I love pro wrestling. I like it when the two bad guys all of a sudden start fighting in the middle of the ring. It's kind of like, that's hilarious, right? Sort of like the fact that Brooks doesn't like Bryson, and Bryson seemingly doesn't like Brooks. I sort of like that. It's kind of a good thing. Rivalries are good for sport. I also like the fact that Brooks has seemingly... Oh, look at that. The kid has entered the podcast. How adorable is that? Hello. I sort of like that, you know, like Brooks has become like he's cut from Claude Harmon, and I think some of that has to do with the fact that DJ and Claude Harmon work together, and I think there's friction between him and DJ. Like, I think I kind of like that about him, that he's sort of a loner, that he sort of does things his way. I kind of appreciate that about him. But I am concerned that, you know, he shot his wad here. Like, he totally gave us, you know, a couple of years of just unbelievable driving prowess and iron play and putting that, you know, he's just like every other big guy who bulks up, gets really big and muscular and powerful, and the body breaks down. Ask Tiger, ask Rory. I guarantee you, ask Bryson in a year or two. You already started to see Bryson trim down. You've already started to see that. And I think it's just a matter of time before you see a guy like Brooks trim down. At least you should. Because what we're finding out is that big, when you're muscular and big and powerful, yes, you can drive it a long way, and yes, you'll have an advantage, but that body may not hold up over these long walks and these tough golf courses.
And I think, so at first, you never know with injuries when they put them out. A lot of times they try to downplay them a little bit, but the more I've been reading on this, the stuff that his camp has been putting out, it almost seems like they're hinting at the fact that it's more than a sore knee. It just seems like they're getting us ready for Brooks Koepka underwent major knee surgery and is going to be out 12 months. I kind of feel that coming on. So he's not bad for the game of golf. He's a good golfer. He should be in the big tournaments. He's golf's better when he's there. But yeah, I just have a feeling that it's probably going to require him to go under the knife. So
yeah,
might want to even write him off for the Ryder Cup.
And that would be big for the United States if they don't have Koepka for the Ryder Cup, because you're already down, you're down the big cat, both, I think, as not just as a player, but probably as a captain. Like, I don't think he could even do vice captain duties at a place like Whistling Straits. Like, he won't be ready to even stand on one leg by September. And even I always thought that was going to be his role anyway. I never thought Tiger would be on this team. I thought he would be a captain, like a vice captain. He'd run a pod. You take him, you take Koepka. You still don't know if Stricker likes Patrick Reed. But now guys like Reed, if Koepka's hurt, become almost a prerequisite. Like, you almost have to have him on the team going forward if Koepka can't go. It's kind of interesting to see how the dominoes play with the Koepka injury.
Right. One thing that just popped into my head, isn't Whistling Straits a no cart path place? So if Tiger can't even if Tiger could roll around on a cart, he's not going to be able to get around and watch groups. Yeah, you might not see Tiger at Whistling Straits at all.
I mean, they'll have carts, I'm sure, but yeah, you're right. It's rough terrain. That's probably not going to be a smooth ride. I mean, because I'm sure they have like PGA officials when they have tournaments out there or standing around, and they're at the ready to get to places. But, you know, I haven't walked there, but I've seen the place 100 times. And if it's anything like Erin Hills, it's tough. It's hard terrain. It's hard to move around out there. It really is. So I don't see him out there in any way, shape, or form in September.
But yeah, I'm with you on Captain America there. Patrick Reed, because if you think about it, if there's no Tiger, there's no Brooks Koepka, all of a sudden, I mean, DJ's not a vocal leader. I mean, so are you going to go at, I mean, these are guys I trust to play golf, but what if half of your guys are in the Daniel Berger, Patrick Cantlay, those totally unproven guys in these international competitions? You're going to get smoked by Europe.
Yeah.
Europe's going to be led by a bunch of veterans.
Yeah, and the young players they have are guiding, you know, are guided by like an Ian Poulter type. You know, they're going to get a Victor Hovland, but he's going to be accompanied with a Paul Casey, you know, or with an Ian Poulter or whatever, and obviously Rory. I mean,
Lee Westwood,
and Westwood might play his way onto the team here at 47. Like he might be on this team, which I would have never thought. Yeah. I would have never thought 2 years ago we'd ever see Westwood in another Ryder Cup, but. I think he might make this team, too. Yep. That's crazy. All right. So let's talk about the players. This tournament it's probably the deepest field in golf. 144 guys. It's top guys from Europe, top guys from the PGA Tour. It's a big event, right? And it's not a major. I want to end that discussion right now. It's not a major. It's a good golf tournament, though, and it's a big one to win. This tournament's kind of a special one, Ty, because it sort of marks the line of demarcation on the COVID lockdowns and this whole year of pandemic suffering that we've kind of endured. We're seeing light at the end of the tunnel right now, and that's what's kind of nice. But just think, we've been sitting here for basically 12 months from this spot. Pretty crazy that we've already gone 1 year around.
It is crazy, and it was something else to mention. It was fun seeing fans, you know, a good amount of fans in the crowd last week. That was fun.
You're right. It made a huge, you know, and I said to somebody over the summer that I haven't missed somebody yell Baba Booey, but I have to admit hearing a roar on Saturday and Sunday was great. Like having a Jordan Spieth make a hole in one and having somebody react to it was like really, yeah. Was nice to see. Was really cool. And I'll say that for the players, it's going to create a great vibe and a great atmosphere. And I'm looking forward to seeing it this week.
So speaking of the Players Championship, I'm going to give you a 2-5 finish of a year at the Players Championship. And I want you to tell me how many years ago or how many tournaments ago it was for the players. So I won't tell you the winner because that would give it away. But second place finisher, Jim Furyk. Third place, Eddie Pepperell. Jonathan Vegas and Brant Snedeker. What year was that?
Was that the year Webb?
Had to be 5 years ago, right?
I was gonna say, was that the year? Was that not Webb Simpson? Was that the year Webb Simpson won it? Was that no? Because Tiger was in the mix that year too, right? I think. Was it Webb Simpson?
This was the last Players Championship to be played to conclusion in 2019.
Oh, that's the Rory year. That is, yeah. That's right. Furyk made the charge. That's right. Jim Furyk made a run, and it was John Rahm's to win, and Rahm hit it into the water after kind of arguing with his caddy on like 14, and the caddy's like sitting there exasperated, like, yeah, I really think we should just hit it over here, like just play the safe shot over here, and John's like not having it, and then he dunks it right in the water, and he's so pissed afterward. It did make for great TV.
And he ended up shooting four over and finishing like T15. Yeah,
I didn't know he fell that far back. I knew that cost him the tournament, but I didn't know it dropped him all the way to T15 there.
It was a packed, I mean, I think what I've written down, that Finau finished T12 and was four shots off winning. I mean, it was just a packed leaderboard. But safe to say that, you know, that feels like a long time ago, and I don't think that 2021 is going to finish up with that same top five.
That's probably a safe bet. I would agree with you on that. You know, the guy who feels probably the most hosed in this last year, Hideki Matsuyama.
Who's that?
Hideki Matsuyama.
Hideki loves TPC Sawgrass.
He does.
What did he shoot? Like, what did he shoot? 61 last year.
He shot 63. Then the Chainsmokers put on a concert, and the next thing you know, we're locked down. Like it's like the curse of Hideki Matsuyama. So I'm sure can't wait to get back out there. So I'm excited for this tournament. Obviously, everybody loves watching 17. I know you're a big fan of 17. Are you a big fan of 17? You like this hole?
I do, but I'm sick of seeing Ricky Fowler in his purple shirt hit that shot on 17. Can the PGA Tour show us another commercial with that?
Can I get a 100? Yeah, it's like,
my God.
The PGA's got to calm down on the commercials. We get it. You love the players. The players is a big tournament. But Ricky hasn't been relevant in 3 years. He hasn't won. That was 5 years ago he won that tournament. Why don't you play Tigers better than most putt 100 times? That's far more entertaining. I'd much rather
better
see that.
Better than most.
I'd much rather see that.
Anyway. Yeah, you get your fair share of that.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. This week
I do.
Especially.
I think 17 is an interesting challenge because it's not like a hole that you see a ton at premier golf courses. Because of TPC Sawgrass 17, everybody tries to replicate that with, you know, Shadow Creek, and they all have their short par 3 towards the end of the tournament. But I love seeing it must be mental for these guys because everybody can hit a 125-yard shot or whatever it is, but guys hit it in the water all the time. And, I think it's perfect for Sawgrass. I wouldn't want it on a different type of course, but that's what Sawgrass is. Sawgrass is all these different challenges. Like, you can't pick a player who perfectly fits Sawgrass because you kind of have to have all the different shots in your bag to play well there. It's a tournament that guys might shoot 18 under, but it doesn't mean it's an easy golf course. That's just the guys who were kind of on for 4 days, and it's not an easy golf course. And I think you got to hit all sorts of different shots. It can frustrate a lot of people, and 17 just kind of plays right into that, where it's not a hard shot, but guys get in their own head, and all of a sudden you hit two in the water, and it does happen.
I'm glad that they moved it back to March. Because that's kind of where this golf course plays better in March than it does in May. When the conditions are a little bit colder and the wind picks up a little bit more, this golf course becomes, I think, much more difficult to play and much more difficult to deal with. And I like the way the golf course plays in March versus how the golf course plays in May. So this move has always been a move I endorsed. I like that they play it in May and in March, not in May. So it should be fun to watch. I'm actually going to play a Pete Dye course this weekend when I'm out in Vegas, Ty. So I'm very excited. In honor of the players, I'm playing the Wolf at Paiute in Las Vegas. Also with an island green. Also, like, Dye just decided, we're going to put an island green on every course I design. Here we go. What do you think of that? So I'm fired up to play this course. It's going to be great.
I'm excited for you. I can't wait to see a picture of the old scorecard and see a couple pictures. And I can't wait to see your sub-70 round.
Now, the downer is I'm renting. I'm renting equipment because I'm not going to bring my clubs out because it costs about the same to fly them out versus rent, and I would rather just rent. It's easier. But I think I'm getting new sim stuff to play from the golf course. Like, they're going to let me play the TaylorMade stuff. So that's going to be all right. I'm going to try that and see how it goes.
You use different clubs every time you're out, so it'll be, it'll be no different for you.
I'm a club whore. I can't be attached to one manufacturer. I just can't do it. So
I know. It'll be fine. I hear you. Some people say that teachers aren't paid enough, but I see all the clubs in your bag, and I'm like,
I want to also point out that I've not paid full price for one set of golf clubs in my life. Not one.
There you go.
If you could,
you
find
said you were going to help me out.
Yeah, I'm ready to hook you up, brother. We got it. Whatever you want, we're going to get this thing done. I'm here for you. I am the guy that scouts the deals. I find the deals, and I make them happen for people. That's what I do.
Sounds good.
Yeah, myself and John. You know John. John does that, too. We'll build you a set for nothing else. Anyway.
Sounds good.
All right, time to get to the picks. We got to play our daily fantasy, where, of course, we get our roster of, like, 60,000 fantasy dollars, and we pick six guys. It is obviously a wide open field. You get a lot of value late in this because the field's so deep, Ty. You can get guys at $9,000 that are like fantastic buys. And I think my lineup's loaded this week, so I don't know how I lose. I don't know how. This is a classic game called Who Screws Me. Last week it was Siwoo Kim. Let's figure out who screws me this week. Let's take your number one pick. Who you got?
So this week my theme is youth and the hot hand. I always like to go with the hot hand. My lineup has nothing to do with who's played well at the Players in the past, so we'll see if it comes back to burn me. But I have Patrick Cantlay at $11,100.
I also have Patrick Cantlay, but he is my second pick. Okay. So I have Patrick Cantlay as well for probably the same reasons you do, because what a steady Eddie That guy looks like he can play just about anywhere. He's made 9 of 9 cuts. He has a win at Sherwood. It seems like he plays well everywhere. Poana greens, Bermuda greens, island greens, water, no water, desert. Doesn't seem to matter. Put Patrick Cantlay on a course, he's going to play well. I like Cantlay there as well. My number one pick, Colin Morikawa. I am going to trust that he can keep... I don't know if he'll win, but I just feel like he can't play bad, right? Like, he can't. Not after what we saw 2 weeks ago at Concession. That this golf course is just as weird, just as tricky, just as quirky as Concession. I feel like he'll play just fine here. It sets up pretty well for a cut.
What did you say on the last pod? He was the greatest irons player in the history of the world, I think.
I said something similar to that. I think that's – I'm a big hyperbole guy, as you know. That's kind of how I feel about golf. But watching Colin Morikawa hit iron shots, I have to assume is what, like – I don't know. It's probably like watching a great artist, like Bill Shakespeare, write a sonnet. It's probably like Michelangelo painting. You know, it's a lot like that. I mean, it's very similar, very similar. So I'm a big Colin Morikawa guy. So I got Morikawa and Cantlay. Who's your second pick?
I have Tony Finau. Played well 2 years ago here, and. Again, just one of those guys who can win. He's got to break through eventually. He's got to, and when he does, he's going to be on my roster.
Well, if he breaks through here, it would shut all that stuff up. Like 2 or 3 years of conversation on Tony Finau, it would go away with a win at the Players. It's kind of like Ricky. It bought Ricky like 2 years of equity, like 2 or 3 years of equity when he won the Players. And for Finau, it could be like one of those. I agree with you. He's not on my list, though. But who is on my list? Iron Byron himself, Sung J-im. I'm taking Sung J. He's made 14 of 15 cuts. Think about that. All these guys I'm mentioning, they've played 9 tournaments, 8 tournaments, 10 tournaments. Sung J has played 15. He just plays all the time, and he makes cuts all the time. 14 out of 15. What a buy he is at 9,800. Let's go, Iron Byron. I want Sungjae to break through this week. I want him to get this done. Go, Sungjae. Let's go.
That is a good buy. You're getting kind of thin, though, because I'm with my third pick, and I have, for $10,700, Mr. Jordan Spieth. Mm. Until further notice, give me Jordan Spieth.
I want to take Spieth. I do. I got to leave him off because I want to root for him without a vested interest. I'm a little scared of, like, he's on a heater. He's played really well the last month, and nobody's happier about this than me because, like, my whole golfing watching experience is made so much better by watching Jordan play golf. Like, I love watching him play. So when he's in the mix, I'm in. I don't care where I'm at. I'm going to be in Vegas on Sunday, and I'm playing Sunday morning in Vegas. I will run. If Jordan Spieth's in the mix on Sunday, I will play the round and run to a TV so that I can make sure that I'm there to watch Jordan try to finish that thing off. And Jordan winning here would be incredible.
Are you staying on the Strip or downtown?
I'm staying on the Strip. Oh. I'll be at the Luxor.
They may have something similar on the Strip, but you got to go downtown at some point and go to the Circus Sportsbook and watch a little bit of golf there. It is spectacular. It's the coolest thing I've ever seen. It's like being in in a beautiful sports arena, except it's all TVs and they're there ready to take your money.
I got my old man. I'm taking him with me. My old man hasn't gotten out in a long time, so you know, he's recovered from COVID, he's healthy, he's back up and running. We're celebrating by taking him out, and he's going to Vegas, and it's going to be a fun time. I figured nothing like debauchery and gambling to celebrate your COVID recovery and having the antibodies, and my wife's been vaccinated. It's been a great time here at the house, so we're going to take my old man, and my old man loves the downtown of Las Vegas. Go figure. He would go hang out at the Golden Nugget. If you gave him a choice, he'd go hang out in the downtown CD. Fremont experience versus like hanging out in the Strip, and I don't for the life of me understand that, but that's my old man for you. Anyway, but we'll probably take a trip down there now that you mentioned that. All right, fourth pick. Who you got?
Cameron Smith.
Mm,
I like riding a bike. best looking man on tour, and I just felt like he was pretty good value at $9,700. Like, you got Siwoo Kim at 98.
That's Sung Jae Im. Don't you dare Sung call J-M it. Yeah, don't you dare say I'm taking Siwoo Kim again. Never. Not in a million years, pal. Not after what happened last weekend.
Okay.
Kiss my ass. It's not happening.
I'm the worst. Okay. Okay, Sung Jae Im at $9,800 makes me feel pretty good about Cam Smith for $9,700. I think he'll be in the mix.
I know you and I are starting to become follically challenged. But we should try this summer to grow some sweet-ass mullets underneath our hats when we go play golf.
That would certainly shave a couple strokes, and the mustache to boot.
The question is, would Kayla let you back in the house? Is she on? She wouldn't be on, although she's a hockey person. She's a hockey person at heart. She might get down with the mullet.
That's true, but nah, I'm in my 30s. She wouldn't go for it.
All right, my fourth. I'm going to take Honest Abe, Abraham Answer, 9,400. What value is that? That is sick value for Honest Abe. I'm ready to see him win a big tournament here in America. I think he's going to win one of these big ones. It's going to happen. His game is really good. I like him to be in the mix on a course like this too. I think this could be a good one for Abe Answer.
I stared at that name a lot when choosing my team, and that is great value. And he actually finished pretty well a couple years ago, so good pick.
All right, fifth pick. This is when you start to run out of cash and you're looking for the real value, guys.
Nope, I had some money left over.
As did I. I was taking advantage of some of the value here in this tournament. But I did have to go deep for one guy, and I made him my fifth pick. So who's your fifth?
I have Joaquin Niemann.
I have him too. I have him as my sixth. He was my sixth pick. I have Joaquin Niemann as well.
Very good.
Ten of ten
he's,
cuts.
He's just a really good player. He's as talented as anyone on the roster. Hasn't quite broken through, at least on the PGA or the American stage. But eventually he's going to. He has that kind of game. So no better place than TP Sawgrass to have your coming out party. So.
Well, he's made 10 of 10 cuts. He's played well. It seems like every time he tees it up, he's in the mix. Like, he's now starting to, like, sniff around the top of the leaderboard as you get to Sundays. And that's where it starts to happen, right? Like, I keep telling people about Spieth. People are kind of like, yeah, Spieth's not closing the deal. I'm like, you got to kind of sniff around a little first, right? Especially when you're on the way back. You got to have some confidence. You got to get in there. You got to feel it. You got to sense it. You got to smell it a little bit. And Joaquin's there. Joaquin is in that spot now. I think he's ready to win. I'm with you. I like Joaquin this week. He'd be one of them sneaky long shot guys to win. I like that. My fifth pick, right. And then that would be my last pick because Niemann is my sixth pick. I'm going for a guy who hopefully is on a bit of a heater. Recent winner. He won the opposite field event last week. Brandon Grace. I'm going to take Brandon Grace, winner in Puerto Rico. I think he's got to be feeling good, right? Got to be feeling good about himself heading into this week. This would be a great follow-up for him to make the cut, play well, play four solid rounds in this tournament.
Right. He's just like Mark Leishman. He's that guy who seems to show up in big tournaments, especially majors. So was he the one at out west when he had a chance to win down the stretch and hit the ball over the train tracks?
Yep, at Chambers Bay, he was in the mix. You know, him and Oosthuizen were charging hard to make that run at Spieth and DJ. And Grace, yeah, he just hit a foul ball at the wrong time. But I continue to point to Brandon Grace's. I loved watching him hit. I was mesmerized by him at Erin Hills. Like, I had a little bit of a man crush because I just sat on the driving range for 45 minutes watching, you watch McIlroy and you love watching Rory McIlroy hit balls. But Brandon Grace sat there and just hit laser after laser after laser after laser. And you just sat there and went, does this guy miss a – how does this guy not win five times on tour every year? How does this not happen? And it's got to be just all mental stuff because his swing is rock solid. And he's one of the best ball strikers you're going to find. He's terrific. I'd love to see him find find a routine and get himself consistently back into that mix where he's a top contender. This could be a good week for him. All right, your sixth guy, Ty.
So my last pick of the week, and probably going to win. I just thought it was good value. I was looking at the other. I had about, you know, $7,000 to spend, but I'm looking in that $7,000 and $9,000 range. And I just thought that this guy was a ton better than everyone else. And I took Patton Kizzir. I think he's made about 10 out of 12 cuts this year. I think he's a pretty good player. I was just kidding. I don't think he's going to win, but I think he'll make the cut, and you never know.
Let me help you. Patton Kizzir is not winning this golf tournament. No chance. Like, that guy, if you have good players in the field, Patton Kizzir ain't winning it, pal. I just got to tell you that right now. He's got game. I agree with you. He's a good player. He's got ball striking. Like, he can really hit it off the tee, and he can move it. That guy doesn't have a fraction of what these big horses have got. I'm sorry. He's what we like to call a fair-weathered sailor. I would bet on him when the weather's fair and the field's small and there's not a lot of talent in the field. He can win the Sony Open anytime he wants, but he ain't winning no players. I'll just tell you that. But I like it. If he wins, you're going to win a lot of money because nobody else is going to have him. I root for you.
We shall see. Don't have to wait too long.
All right. Any of the guys that you just picked, is that your pick to win it, or is that just your FanDuel? Who's your? Give me two guys to bet on, two guys to stay away from this weekend, and then we'll head on out.
I think that Cantlay is definitely on that list. Aside from that, I have a hard time picking John Rahm to win anything, just because I really haven't seen it this year. But I still come back to the fact that he's. If you take DJ out of the mix, he might be the second best player in the world. So I think John Rahm has a really, really good chance to win this week. So I'll take Rahm and Cantlay are the two guys you bet on. I just don't think you touch Rory McIlroy, and I don't think you touch Bryson DeChambeau. I just don't think Bryson has a ton of an advantage here at Sawgrass, and I just think it's going to command some shots that he's not willing to hit, or he just doesn't really have in the bag. So those are the two guys I'd stay away from.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I think DeChambeau's neutralized at a place like this. There's just a lot of places where his length will just, like, he's not going to be able to rip a driver at a lot of these holes. He's going to have to lay back and hit irons and hit, he's going to have wedges into greens and nine irons and stuff, but I'll take my chances if he's going to hit from the same place as everybody else. Like, I'll take my chances with guys who are better wedge players, better nine iron players. Give me that. So I agree with you. I'm out on DeChambeau this week. I'm out on DJ this week, and I'm out on Rory this week. The top three favorite guys in the tournament as far as the money line on FanDuel. I'm out on all three of them this week. I don't think either of those three guys will win. I think they're not playing great. I think Justin Thomas, though he showed some signs at concession, I think you throw him out. I don't think he's going to be in the mix this week. I'm not ready to say that. Rahm, I'm kind of with you, although I think Rahm could win this tournament. I think Rahm would be a guy I'd be interested to bet on. Although I'm a little scared. The guy who I'm going to put some... I'm with, I think, Morikawa. I like Schauffele. I like Cantlay. And I like Victor Hovland. I like those three guys four guys to maybe break through and be the winner this week. Any one of those four wouldn't surprise me at all.
I just want to point out, if anyone's looking to pick a team to bet on, I have been in the money the last 2 weeks, so just going to throw that out.
I have been on a two-week losing streak, but I had like a three-week heater prior to that. You know what the problem is? I was putting Spieth in my lineup, and I was winning. I have taken Spieth out of my lineup the last few weeks and lost. I need to go back and rethink this whole process.
You might want to.
I'm disappointed.
I got him. So,
Tyus, I think you and I, what are the odds, last bet, odds you and I are playing a live golf round in the next week or two here in Minnesota?
I think they're probably pretty good. Some course is going to open, and we'll be the first ones lined up.
Oh, you and I are going to get out there. We're going to walk it. We're going to probably be forced to walk it because it'll be a little sludgy. It'll be a little trudgy early on in the golf season. Oh, let's get out there and mud it. Let's go, Ty. Let's do this.
I'm going to ice fish and golf in the same weekend. That's my goal.
You got to change your goals on the ice fishing stuff. I got to get you off the ice fishing stuff. I just got, come on, man. Just go have a beer in a bar. If it's really just about getting drunk, just go drink in a bar. You don't need to freeze your ass off on a lake and do that.
You won't be freezing your ass off this time of year.
That's
beautiful.
True. Yeah, I don't want you falling through the ice. It's going to be 70 tomorrow, Tyus. 70, baby.
It's the risk you take. The risk you take.
I ain't risking nothing for no ice fishing. I'll tell you that. Ain't risking anything. All right, but at least, hey, if you do risk it, TyShrupp.com. Ty Shrupp will take care of you for all your insurance needs if you need it. That's what I'm saying. Shameless plug at the end, my man. Hey, always good talking to you, Ty. I want to thank you for coming on and doing the PGA Preview Pod with me.
Thanks, Tim. We'll see you next week.
Excellent work by you. That's right. My guy, Ty, right there. Once again, thanks for listening, everybody. Great response from our football pod last week. We'll have the guys back in because Dak Prescott just signed a contract, so that's going to be big football news when we come back in soon. I want to thank you for listening to Peak Cinema with Lauren. The Breakfast Club pod's getting some great feedback. I really appreciate folks for listening to that pod. And, of course, all of our PGA Preview pods with Ty have been great. People have been listening like crazy, and we want to thank you for that. So continued support. Continue to share it out. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast, you can email me at timpodcast1@yahoo.com and continue to be a fan of the show. We appreciate you. Until then, we will be back next week to talk all about what happened at the Players, what happened in my golf round in Vegas, if we're playing golf in Minnesota. Oh, everything is coming up roses here in Minnesota, ladies and gentlemen. That's what I'm talking about. So until next time, keep your head up, and we'll see you.